This is Radical Love Life, an ongoing series of podcasts and special events where we explore faith outside the boxes. Hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I am freaking awesome, as always. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Great, great, great. It's another episode of Radical Love Live.
Here we are. Yes.
Here we are again. And today we have a special guest, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes. Today we welcome Ashley Nelson, who's the Executive Director of Evolving Faith. And I want to say Evolving Faith Conference, but it's more than that now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Welcome. We're really glad that you're here today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet y'all.
Likewise, Ashley. Likewise. So I'm going to ask the first question of you. And that is, first of all, how did you become the executive director of Evolving Faith? What got you there?
That's a question I'm still asking myself sometimes. But no, so in 2018, I had just recently come out and I had just gotten divorced. I'd moved into my new home in October of 2018. And I had tickets to this conference called Evolving Faith that was brand new and almost didn't go because I was literally in boxes in my house and thought, you know, who does this? But felt like it would be something that I maybe needed at the time. And it absolutely was. So that conference was really pivotal for me in my own faith journey, just leaving, you know, marriage, trying to figure out my new life, and kind of figuring out where faith fit into all that. I had at that point really done a lot of obviously work in my own sort of deconstruction, reconstruction, but, you know, I kind of had left a community to some degree of people that I had been in church with and was trying to figure out where I belonged. And that space was pivotal to feel whole, that I could be my whole self there, to feel like there were other people out there like me, to hear from a vast array of speakers from all sorts of different faith journeys and backgrounds and know that we're all held and loved. And it was such a huge, huge moment for me in that exact month of all of the life change for me. So 2018, that was 2018. Then 2019, went to the conference with my then fiance at the time. I had met Kelly the next year and we were engaged at that point. And I was like, you have to come to this thing with me. You know, being gay in the South, everyone's got their own baggage around faith. She had also grown up in an evangelical church and was kind of unpacking her own faith process as well. So we went in 2019, another amazing year. 2020, you know, hello COVID. So everything was virtual. And then in 2021, they decided to take a year and just kind of figure out what the next steps were, recognizing that they had a growing community of people, not just at the conference, but even in their own little Facebook groups that were trying to connect and find the fellow wanderers together. So they took some time off and decided to hire an executive director. They put out the job description. I was working in nursing at the time. I was actually working for the college doing nursing placements. But in my previous life, I had done events and ministry and even some larger conferences like this. And so when the job description came up, I thought, well, maybe, right? Like, I don't know. This feels like a dream job. It's like my dream conference. It's in my background. You know, after coming out, I didn't really think ministry was probably in my future. But obviously, this organization
Surprise.
Felt like maybe I was a good fit. So kind of threw my name in the ring just on a whim and walked through the interview process. And just the conversations even in that were just, I felt like I was home, like I had found my dream job with my dream organization. And so I've been there, been doing this role for about 2 years now, and it has been a ride. We definitely have grown leaps and bounds, not just, you know, our conference obviously is sort of our main gathering space every year, but we have an online community of over 12,000 people that meet around all sorts of topics. We've got different affinity groups for everything from LGBTQ to deconstructing whiteness. We've got BIPOC spaces. We have allies. We have all the different ways that people are sort of connecting in the midst of their own journey. So it is a large undertaking with a small but valiant staff. I'm the only one that's full-time. All the other staff are part-time. So it's, and we're all spread out. You know, it's a little bit like herding cats, but They're the best people in the world to work with. So it's been a dream.
Thank you for that. And wow. So the synchronicity feels very strong in all of this. You know, again, how you already knew what Evolving Faith was. You happened to find out about the posting and going through the interview process, and this has become your dream job. And so here you are. And as you said, you didn't see yourself serving in ministry, but yet that's what you are. And that's it's an interesting word. You know, for some of our listeners, Radical Love Life, you know, they're across the spectrum, you know, and so when they hear that word ministry, they may think, well, that means you're a preacher, or, you know, you have some formal aspect within a religious community. And it's like, no, the word itself just simply means that you're serving out a call, and it shows up in infinite forms. And so here's a good example of you. So, but yeah, I am. First, I, you know, attended the conference in Minneapolis. That was the weekend of Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th.
Yeah, so, we did that to ourselves.
Yeah. I was like, wow, okay, Friday the 13th, here we are. That was so well produced. I was absolutely blown away. So congratulations to you and
Thank
to
you.
Everybody. It was so well done. It was spot on. And I walked away with a deepened faith and a greater appreciation of just the fellow wanderers and explorers and people who are out in wilderness, either by accident or by design, whatever it might be, that there's this gathering space that where people can celebrate, you know. And I felt like that there's, you know, there's lament that takes place in there, and there's, you know, there's tears shed as well. But oh my God, what a great space in which to be vulnerable. You guys pulled it off.
Thank you. That's always good to hear after, you know, being behind the scenes and knowing all of the things that could have been better, but recognizing, I mean, all of the feedback that just remembering what it feels like to be sitting in that chair and feeling all the things that you just described, that, you know, you can be your whole self, the full spectrum, the grief and the joy and the community and the gathering and all of those pieces. So thank you. I needed that word this week for sure.
Awesome. We are not here to poke holes in what you accomplished at all, Ashley. I will tell you, you know, when I think also I was at the one in Denver in 2019 in October as well. And wow, I had no idea. I just, you know, I've kind of tripped across it. You know, I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And I went out there because, you know, I've been working on my own call, and I thought there would be something there that, you know, I can make a connection. And I went, I think, more at a head space than a heart space. And I quickly saw the value of what Evolving Faith is really all about. And of course, that's part of the purpose of this conversation, is dig into a bit about that. But I was like, wow, this is really awesome. So, you know, Godspeed on more of these in-person events. And or for the folks that, as Sarah said, there were people dialed in from six continents. She was hoping for somebody from Antarctica. That didn't happen, but
maybe next year.
Maybe next year. You can go for, you know, getting somebody from the polar station down there. But, you know, the fact that people can dial in from around the world to participate in this kind of event is amazing, actually. So
yeah,
one question I want to ask is, you know, stepping back a little bit, because maybe not all of our listeners know exactly what Evolving Faith is. If you can kind of is there an overarching sort of message or ethos or something that's kind of like the elevator statement when somebody's like, what is Evolving Faith? It's this for these kind of people.
I've been working on that elevator pitch for 2 years now, and it never gets any better. So hang with me on
whatever
this might be. But, you know, we have a lot of people that grew up in evangelical backgrounds that kind of, for whatever reason, ended up tired of racism and homophobia and misogyny and all of the things, right? As they sort of unpacking their faith, but realize that they still love Jesus, right? I think, you know, we have a lot of people also in mainline traditions. We have a lot of people that don't identify as anything. We really have a full spectrum of faith backgrounds and even journeys, right, where people are headed. And I think that the beautiful thing about Evolving Faith is that not only are all welcome, but all belong, right? We set a very wide table with zero judgment and all being held. I mean, I think our own theology allows for that, of like, that's just not up to us, right? To decide where anyone is in their own journey, and knowing that God is bigger than all of that and loves everyone fully and wholly as they are. And so, you know, we have a lot of people in that in-between space, right? Trying to figure out, this is where I was and where am I going? We have a lot of people that feel landed somewhere, but still love that space of being exposed to different teachers and ideas and theologies, and knowing that it's okay, right? I think that, I know for me personally, even the background that I grew up in, those things were scary, right? It felt like, oh, if someone's not completely lined up here, that, you know, whatever word you want to use, heresy or, you know, slippery slope or all those kind of things.
Don't dare ask a question.
Right. Yep. But being in a space where that's, you know, exciting to see where people are unpacking and what they know and what they're wrestling with. And yeah, we love that wide table of different backgrounds and different ideas. And so, you know, it's easy to say, like, mission statement of being, you know, a place where we belong and we listen and we care, but that really is who we are. That's our ethos. That's what we hope comes across on stage. That's what we hope comes across in the community, that people find that wide table where they're seen and they belong.
I have done a lot of reading and watched some of the sessions online and you know, read some of the opinions of, you know, some of the folks that are speakers and presenters at Evolving Faith. Is the way that Evolving Faith has approached diversity? And because I know that some spaces, even like deconstructing former evangelical spaces, can be very white, cishet focused. Can you talk a little bit about how Evolving Faith has tried to address diversity and making it a welcoming space for lots of different kinds of people?
Yeah, we're super, super intentional about that, as much as we can be. And not just because it's checking boxes, right? Not just because it's making sure that we have all our bases covered, but because we truly believe that we won't learn unless we hear from all voices and all perspectives, right? I think even if there's a bunch of cis white guys that have different, you know, opinions or theology, they have a pretty similar shared lived experience, right? That's different than someone of color, different than someone that's disabled, different than, you know, fill in whatever. I think those kind of experiences lend themselves to your own theology and your own understanding of God and the world. And so those voices matter, right? The voices that we don't always get to hear from. And so we are super intentional about making sure that we give a microphone to as many different types of journeys that we can. That's reflected on stage and on our staff. I think, you know, we do have, I'm sure you noticed in-house and in person, we do have a lot of white people, right? And that's, so we're very intentional as well about making sure that our BIPOC community feels cared for in the midst of that very white space. We do that both online and in person with creating a BIPOC lounge for them to sort of get some respite and some care, to be in a room where they feel like they can let their hair down a little bit and be themselves and seen and not necessarily in that overwhelmingly large majority white space. And so we try to be as intentional about that as we can to make sure that, you know, people feel welcome and however, what makes them feel welcome.
Wow, that's amazing. Like intentionally creating those spaces. That's really thoughtful.
Just thinking, you know, as you said about your intentionality of the conference and again, witnessing it firsthand, I agree. It comes across, but not in a box checking way. It was authentic. And for our listeners, just to give a quick background, and what I have up, Ashley, is the overview of the sessions. And so there's a number of components that went to the conference, but overall there were a total of four different sessions. And the first one on Friday evening was titled Evolving Faith and Gathering. And that one was with Sarah Bessie, you know, who's co-founder of Evolving Faith, and a mutual friend of ours, Alicia Crosby Mack, who has been on our show here. She's been part of the Radical Love Live live event that we did at St. John the Divine back in 2020, early 2020. Yes.
Pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, or right at the beginning of it, I guess. Yeah. And then Randy Woodley was there as well. That was awesome. And to see the spectrum that was there. And then on Saturday morning, the first session was titled Evolving Faith and Loving, with Brandy Miller, the Right Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne, who hopefully will be a guest on our upcoming episode here. I've put the ask out
great.
To her.
She's yeah.
She is amazing.
She really is.
Oh, God. The way she started off her keynote in with the what were really lamentations, right? It was lamenting.
Yep.
And then she pivoted and she still gave the hope. It was like, oh, yeah, that's how you
yep.
do that.
Yep. She's good at what she does.
Yep. Absolutely. And she was so beautiful and so humble about it all. It's just like there's just oh, God, it was wonderful. I was just gobsmacked with her. And then there was the incomparable Reverend Dr. Marilyn Pagan Banks from Chicago, who I got a chance to talk to her. And yes, I asked her if she would join us on an upcoming episode of Radical Love Live as well.
Love it.
Oh, she was just so, God, she's just so authentic and she just puts it out there and she warned the crowd. She's like, yep, I use F bombs. And like, you know, and she talked about her personal trauma. She put it right out there and it was powerful. It's like, it's witnessing her own experience, but also sharing her faith in that she will not be beaten down. That was across the board with everybody that was there. And then, you know, not to go too much further, there was the session with the amazing Krista Tippett, who I love, 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 love. The On Being with Nadia Bowles Weber. They just knocked out of the park in their conversation. And then last but not least was Evolving Faith and Listening with Will Gaffney, who she is just, God, she's something. Just like... just brilliant, right? Amazing. And then Joyce Del Rosario, who talked about what her experience was. She had a crisis of faith while she was at seminary at Fuller, right? And she shares an experience of lying on a bench in what is supposed to be like a meditative space, but filled with concrete, and just asking the questions that were existential and just sharing what that was like and how she came out of that, you know, dark night of the soul. And then there was Paula Stone Williams, who, you know, she brought it as well as transgender and again. And then of course there was Barbara Brown Taylor, who, you know, I think is pretty well known in a lot of spaces, and she certainly brought it as well. We also had
one more session.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And I'm scrolling down. So
making sure if we're going to cover them, I want to make sure we get our shout outs to
everybody.
And Amy and
thank you for that. And the last one was that closed off the afternoon there before the final communion was Evolving Faith and Belonging with Dante Stewart, who thankfully made it in. He had a little plane issue that morning getting in from
which
Augusta.
They didn't tell me about, which that was smart.
I would imagine you would probably have had a meltdown. You're like, oh my God, what do you mean he can't get here? Dr. Amy Kenney.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Oh, wow.
If I could tell listeners to just make sure they hear any one message, it may be Amy Kinney's. I mean, they were all phenomenal, every single one of them, but Amy Kinney, just brilliant, polished, like smart, funny. The insights that she had coming from, you know, being a disabled person and seeing the ways that the trees are crooked in nature. I mean, just the analogies that she was able to draw were just beautiful. And that's a great example of like, it's not just about her being disabled, right? It's the perspective that she's able to bring about her experience with God in the world that was just powerful.
That's all I can say. To hear Amy share her experience, that one brought me to tears simply because she was one, and also I put Marilyn in this category, that they have anger, but they know how to channel that anger into a very effective way and share that. Like, you know, they have a right.
Righteous.
It's righteous anger. It is absolutely that
spirit of protest.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So kudos to those. And of course, we would be remiss if we didn't also mention by name Reverend Mihi Kim Court, who was with Amy and Dante in The Belonging as well. So I, wow. So I've talked enough about that. Do you have any other any comments you'd like to call out about some of those speakers?
No, I mean, they were all phenomenal. And it's funny, right? Because we never give a ton of direction into what they need to talk about or share. We kind of give them those broad umbrellas of, you know, evolving faith and love or belonging or gathering. And so it's always amazing to see how the thread is woven, that the Spirit just does that with the things that they bring to the table. And that happened again this year. That's consistently been true. And then of course we had the many for our sort of house band that were just phenomenal and were able to bring people into a worship space, which I know can be tender for a lot of people, in such a gentle way that helps us all sort of reclaim those pieces that we miss and long for. They just did a phenomenal job of that. And then who's my just the very best MC / human. I just want to make sure she gets a shout out as well. She just, you can throw anything in Amina and she will somehow make it work and funny from the stage, and it's brilliant to watch. She is a professional among professionals.
She is. So Amina Brown, she does that with such polish and ease, and like those are not scripted moments. I mean, she may have a couple of talking points, but she's just up there and she is doing it. It is so awesome to see. I'm like, okay, that's a skill I clearly don't have. I'm like, okay, where's my script. She was awesome. And you're right, you know, we don't want to skip anybody. The many that blew me away actually is the opening, because Friday night, that's how the conference opened, was with a performance, and it included the lyrics of the song for people to share and sing in community and to bring it together. And I was like, wow. And if you're not familiar with the many, I'm talking to the listeners here, do go check them out, because they're not a Christian rock band. That's not what they do.
Don't do that to them.
Yeah, don't do them to them. So Ashley, you explain to the listeners what the many is all about, because it's really quite beautiful.
I mean, they are a collective of artists, mostly based in Chicago, but they all bring very diverse experiences also to their music. But they just have this way, and they're very intentional with this from the jump, this working with them over the past few months and our conversations about saying, you know, we're not performers, right? We're not getting up here just to like sing at people. We really want to invite people into this space in whatever way feels comfortable for them. And they do that masterfully. They're used to being in spaces like ours with a lot of either, you know, deconstructing or spiritual trauma that people still want to sort of learn how to engage with that in a way. And they are so gentle in their approach, and their lyrics are so powerful. And they're just honest. They're just really honest and raw with what they've learned, with what they believe. And so that invitation just feels so genuine that it's an easy thing to step into with them. They are super talented on top of all that. And so it was just a really gift to have them there.
Agreed.
That's so interesting, bringing the spirit of worship into a place where there might be people going like, how in the heck does God deserve my worship? And, you know, people who are coming from that tradition of like, Jesus is my boyfriend sort of worship songs, into the divine in a different way it's really interesting kind of being able to open that up, because we do desire to connect with the divine, even if we've thrown off the trappings of the stuff that we grew up with.
Absolutely. Okay. So we can't forget a couple more people. I'm looking at the list. There's Kenji as well. And I think there's...
And Oshida.
Oshida. So we need to do a shout out with him. And if you want to explain also their roles in Evolving Faith.
Yeah, what a gift they are. So they're on staff with Evolving Faith. Kenji is in charge of our spiritual formation, and specifically around conference time, he manages the spiritual friends. So he recruits them and brings them in. And what the spiritual friends are, they serve as sort of chaplains throughout the experience. So we've, over the years, recognized a lot of people have things that they're wanting to unpack or just have someone hold with them, whether that be through prayer or just sitting and listening. And so we have a team, this year we had a team of 11 people that met with people virtually throughout the conference. And so Kenji helps to train them and prepare them and get that you know, and he also meets with people as well. Last year, we actually started group sessions as well. So we do small groups of around 8 to 10 people that are led by two of our spiritual friends. It was super transformative for people last year because it was not just a place to sort of unpack what they were processing, but also a place of connection with other people that they kept up with even throughout the year. And so Kenji is just, I mean, you saw him from the stage, his presence, he's the wisest young person I know. I tell him that all the time. Like, you would never know that he's as young as he is because he just brings that spirit of a calm, steady presence and guidance into those spaces. And Ashita, who's also on staff with us, and she, I tell Ashita, even in staff meetings, I'll sometimes, you know, put her on the spot and be like, Ashita, would you just sort of pray for us? And every time she prays, I cry. She just has that, she has that gift of just knowing where our people are and knowing how to connect them to the divine in a way that feels safe and an invitation. She leads prayer chapels throughout the year as well. And so, you know, her presence, even at communion, when she did prayers of the people and just, you know, and if that were me, right, I'd be like, okay, prayers of the people, let's sort of collect some things and we'll pray. And obviously there's a lot going on in the world right now that feel really huge and above our control for sure. And so let's offer those things up. Ashita did that, but she also took the things that she was hearing throughout the weekend and offered that as an invitation, just themes that she was hearing from people, and sort of asked people to stand if they felt comfortable to say, yes, that's me. And that was, again, Ashita stands up and I start crying. That moment was really powerful, just to have that invitation. That was a response to what she was seeing from the community. She's so gifted in that way.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. One question our listeners might have is, after hearing all this and hearing about all these amazing speakers and hearing about these experiences, if they missed the conference, is there a way that they can still access some of these talks and experiences?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on, Ashley. Bring it on.
No, we do. That's one of the things that I really also value, is our accessibility to the conference. So whether or not you were there in person or attended virtually, you have access to the sessions all the way until January 1st of 2024. I know, you know, a lot of live events, the kind of standard industry is like a week after, but we want to make sure that not only that you can go back and rewatch, but that people can do that at their own pace. There's a lot of content.
And oh, yes.
So even if you're there in person, you can step out and know that video is there for you. And virtually, we have a lot of people that even use it in small groups. So they'll kind of say, let's take a session at a time and we'll watch them and then kind of process them together. And they'll go through it over the course of several weeks, which I feel like is probably the best way to do it, just because the volume of content and ideas and things to talk through is very large. It is very much like drinking water out of a fire hose. And so taking that sort of longer approach gives you, you know, all the way until January. So you can go to evolvingfaith.com and purchase digital access. And that will walk you through how to get into the community, into the 2023 space, which is where the videos are. And those will be available to you all the way through January. And it is a rich treasure trove, not just individually, but also collectively, to walk through that with people at your own pace, given the amount of information that's there.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I say this, you know, because I myself am doing exactly what you just said. It is so rich, the content. And I was listening to Sarah's introduction yesterday as well, which we need to talk about Sarah in a minute here. But I just realized that I had to, because she references a couple individuals. And, you know, you can only take in so much. So I would encourage anybody to take the time, make the investment into that, because your soul will be fed and then some through listening and watching that. And also, there's two versions as well. There's the spoken, and there's also an ASL version that's there as well, because the entire event was signed, which... Those two individuals, I forgot their names, but they were amazing in of themselves, and they deserve
Jonathan
a shout out.
Jonathan and Janae, they were great. God. Our interpreters are always amazing. It's always fantastic to watch how quickly they can do that.
It's like instant. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there watching them as much as anything else that's going on the stage, because, you know, to me, I don't know how somebody processes something that quickly and then translates that into the sign language itself. It was extraordinary. And It was really kind of moving, actually. You know,
yeah
it's
they're
not,
wonderful.
yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to share about the event itself before we talk about Sarah?
No, let's talk about Sarah.
Let's talk
about
Sarah.
One of my favorite humans on the planet.
Indeed.
That's an easy topic.
Yeah. So, let's dig in. I think if you share, for the folks that don't know the history of Sarah and of course Rachel as well, so maybe we can get started there.
So Sarah and Rachel, you know, were friends for years before 2018, before that started. And you know, they're just the very best of the sort of in that world, especially at the time, right? The blogging and Twitter world of sort of the renegade Christian feminists, and found a community with each other. And I think, you know, the two of them really birthed Evolving Faith out of their dream for the people that they were sort of gathering online. And so, you know, when Rachel passed in 2019, that was a really, you know, trying time for Sarah to even move forward with the conference and figure out next steps, and, you know, not necessarily make it a total homage to Rachel, because she would have hated that, but still carry on that legacy. And so it's, you know, that year was challenging, and but at the same time, I think it's exactly probably what Rachel would have wanted, of just, you know, keeping this work alive and going in the world. But Sarah is, I tell people this all the time, she is more wonderful than you even think she is. You know, you can get in this world and kind of, you know, your hero sometimes when you get up close and personal, you're like, oh man, maybe not, right?
Right.
But Sarah is worthy of all the hero worship for me. She just is a fantastic human and mother and friend. And coworker and laborer, she is the real deal and good to her core.
Mm, well said. Yeah, and I saw that in how she and Jeff Chu, who's also, you know, part of the Evolving Faith community there as well, right? And the folks, when they did the conference in Denver in 2019, that was not long after Rachel's passing, right? And so you're exactly right. For them to carry that off was extraordinary. And I didn't know that when I showed up at the conference. I was like, oh, wait a minute. And I knew who Rachel was. I just didn't know what had happened. And so to think that they could, that, you know, Sarah could find the strength, and others, you know, that are part of the Evolving Faith.
Right. Daniel was there.
Daniel was there, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so powerful, but to see the strength, the resilience, of course there was tears. There was lots of tears, you know, about just what happened, you know, because if anybody doesn't know, Rachel she passed very unexpectedly, very quickly, and just how that all happened. So
the word that comes to mind is, I know that Rachel used the word valor a lot, and I know that there was a lot of that shown that year. That was 2019.
Right? Yes, 2019.
Yeah, and that was a really pivotal year for Jeff to step in as well and sort of carry that load with Sarah. And knowing Rachel as a friend as well, that was them being able to sort of shoulder that together in the midst of pulling off an event that she started, right? And I think, you know, Jeff is a fantastic human that just was able to shoulder that as well with Sarah. And he's kind of stepped back a little bit in his role this past year. So he still has a lot of online presence, specifically in our BIPOC community, and is very beloved in that space, but wasn't with us this year at the conference. Hopefully again one day.
Yeah, indeed.
One thing that I wanted to ask is, you had talked about the community and online groups. Are there other activities that Evolving Faith is doing through the year that people can keep, can stay involved with?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, throughout the year, we have some things that are sort of in our free community space. So that space is open to anyone free of charge. That's, you know, the space where we have over 12,000 people, and you can find affinity groups inside of there. It's sort of just our own little closed community for Evolving Faith. So we have events that happen in that space as well as behind the paywall, which that was the 2023 membership space. So we kind of tried to move the breakout sessions from being in person during the conference in one weekend, just because of the volume of content again. And we kind of spread them out over the year and put them online. So those are still available. So if you buy 2023 access, which gets you the entire conference, you also have access to those breakout sessions that happened over the past year. And then we have, you know, book clubs that happen year round. We have special events. We have an Advent service in December. We have a Pride service in the summer. So there's lots happening in that community that's also like sort of more programming wise. But, you know, one of the things that's been the sweetest to me is our book clubs, because it's really a chance for people to connect and actually have conversation with one another and not just consume, right? Not just be behind a screen and consume the content. So that's been one of my favorite things, is to lead these smaller book clubs and get to know some people consistently over time. So yeah, check us out. We've got all sorts of things happening all the time. It keeps us hopping and connected, and all of those spaces are open for conversation year round.
Cool. And we've also, we've dropped a lot of names over this, over this program. And we encourage our listeners, like, if you're hungry for content, there's also a lot of these individuals have their websites and mailing lists. You know, Sarah Bessie has her Field Notes, and Nadia Boltz Weber has her email Substack that she does. And I think a lot of these people have different communications on their own. So if people are hungry for more content and want to get emails in their inbox every day telling them, you know, good news, then they should check those individuals out as well.
For sure.
Absolutely. For sure. So I do have one question that Kelly and I were kicking around, and it is, I noticed it in Denver, and then, but even more so in Minneapolis, and that's the fact that as far as what would be male-defining folks and their presence, you know,
where are the dudes?
Yeah,
that was your question. Is?
Yeah, where are the dudes? I mean, I was there, you know, and I, you know, as I'm totally out, I'm queer male myself, so I saw a few of our tribe, queer tribe there. You know, the gaydar pings a little bit, but I, my sense was of a lot of guys that I saw there, it seemed to me that they were there as partner with somebody that was an intense, most likely like their wife, girlfriend, significant other, or family member of some sort. And I was curious about your thoughts about that. You know, what is it that that draws the audience type and male participation?
That's a great question. And if you figure out the answer, you're going to get back with me so we can figure that out together.
Okay, well, maybe.
I have some thoughts, but yeah, don't want to figure that out. I mean, I think there's a couple of things probably. One, I think, you know, a lot of maybe larger quote-unquote Christian conferences have very male-heavy stages, right? And so they would attract probably more men. Traditionally just have not, right? Or it's been very balanced, right? Either way. And so I think that there is a hunger from women to hear from women, to listen, to be at the feet of other women. So I think that there's some of that at play. I think there's also just the reality of, you know, the people that show up to in-person events in general tend to be women, whether that's for community's sake or just, you know, the needs that they have maybe being met there that may not be the same. But I think, you know, we actually have a lot more men in our online space than that are more vocal than we previously did when we sort of just had Facebook groups or or just the conference. And so I'm hopeful that that will grow and that that will be, you know, that will be a little bit more balanced in that. At the same time, I'm not super mad that there's a lot of women that are there.
I'm not looking to pick a nit here in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and
it is curious, and I do think that there's some of it that's just probably a little bit of a pendulum swing, right? Yeah. Of just who's being platformed and whose voices are being heard and who that's attracting.
Yeah, I will tell you that, you know, for the dudes that are listening to this episode, you will find value in listening to this. Oh my God, it's so enriching. I personally have a bias, I will call it that I enjoy hearing from a female point of view on faith and spirituality. I do that. That resonates with me, you know, more, including in the Episcopal Church, which I'm a member as well, and several other communities. I find the Sophia wisdom usually is really, it feeds me and my soul. And so I felt that, you know, this past week, it was just like, oh God, the wisdom, just the Sophia wisdom, just blah. And so, you know, for any guys that have not experienced that, do yourself a favor and dial into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that push.
Yeah.
If you have any favorite evolving faith moments that you can think of, like moments where you were just like, that was so brilliant. There was something really radiant happening there.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of probably a couple from each year, but I think specifically this past conference, our communion is very, it's a sort of a stalwart in our values, right? And I think it's, there's a piece of it, right, that it's like not just about the table, which that in of itself is beautiful, and we want to make that as wide as possible and invite everyone that wants to participate in that. It's also that piece of reclaiming, right? The pieces mm-hmm. that some of us feel like we may have lost along the way. And so to sit in a space, communion is always my favorite. It's always what ends up making me cry. And it's not just because I'm tired at the end of the conference. but I think, you know, this year specifically, Nadia had written really a beautiful communion service for us and was pretty insistent that we sing some of the older hymns in this sort of original key and tempo with the original language. And the mini did such a beautiful job with How Great Thou Art. And I had a moment where I just was watching out from the stage at this whole, you know, crowd of people that may have lost that piece or may have not engaged with it, or maybe you're still in that, but just to step back into that space and hear all of those voices singing How Great Thou Art, mm-hmm. Looking out and seeing, you know, the full spectrum of humanity and all of the things that we bring to the table, but we're entering into that space, singing that song together. That was really, really powerful. And I, again, most of my moments that quickly to mind are those moments from communion, but in 2018, I mean, we had people from the stage that were like, I may be an atheist, right? Like, I don't know where I'm at. And yet they still served communion and blessed other people. And to me, that's so beautiful. And what we represent of just, all are welcome, all are held, all are at the table. And so those are some of my very, very favorite moments of just reclaiming, being together, taking the bread together. That is just, it's so beautiful after a long weekend of taking a lot of information to sort of sit at the feet and be at the table together.
Wow, such an amazing moment. And it kind of connects you back with history too. So you've got like the spirits of those ancestors before and also looking forward at the same time. So sounds like just beautiful. A gorgeous moment.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that about the communion. And for our listeners that are not familiar with Nadia, she is she's a Lutheran priest by education and call. But she's not your typical by any stretch of the imagination. And to hear the fact, though, that she was insistent on drawing upon the traditional hymns, like that, you know, it's not about just leaving everything in the past. Like, no, there's still threads of our faith that can still be alive and a part of this in an evolving evolutionary way as well. And it's really kind of beautiful to be able to do that, you know, because it, you know, the tapestry of faith is it's infinite in the participation of the humanity, the divinity, the some of the ritual about it, but, you know, to draw it all, pull it all together and just, as you just said, you know, as you were looking out over the state, you know, from the stage to see that spectrum of all these divine souls and how they celebrated that together. Yeah.
It was kind of a neat moment too, with tying in the thread from Brandy Miller, who talked about reclaiming our earnestness, right? Mm-hmm. Like the earnest nature that a lot of us lost along the way when we became more skeptical or jaded or disenfranchised in some way. And I think that moment, right, of that felt like a reclaiming of your earnestness to sit and sing these songs with all of these people that we're connecting with, as wanderers at this table. It was beautiful.
Well, I for one, and I think I speak for us both, is that I'm grateful that you're part of keeping this tradition of evolving faith going. I'm glad that it wasn't just, you know, a one-off beautiful moment that happened a few years ago, but that it continues to evolve and move forward and be this open table, open space, where all are welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah. In a radically inclusive way, right? And Radical Love Live.
Indeed. There you go.
So on a lighter note, I did have a couple other questions for you. So in your bio that's on the Evolving Faith website, you talk about you and Kelly. Somehow you wound up in Southern Bride.
Yeah, we didn't even know that was happening until after it happened. I think it was just their online presence.
But, okay.
Which is so fun, right? Because it's like, how many lesbians do you see on Southern Bride? But
so that's kind of the angle I was going at. That's awesome.
Two brides, Southern brides.
Wow.
Yeah. We actually got married in February of 2020. So it was literally right before the pandemic. We came back from our honeymoon into lockdown. So we missed that just by hair, and we're able to gather all of our friends and family. And it really was beautiful. And I think it was worthy of being captured on Southern Bride, but the day itself was just, it was February 2nd and it was like 70 degrees. It was just like a big God smile for us. So yeah, that was again, we didn't even know until after. We're like, hey, did you know you're but awesome.
So they didn't torture you though about it being on February 2nd, which is Groundhog's Day, right?
Yeah, well, but that's a day you want to live over and over again, right?
Oh, that's right. Wow, well played. I love that. Okay, and then I also wanted to ask, because your family, you are in Memphis, and I have a connection with somebody who is in a spiritual group with mine, who is in Memphis as well. And, he's a cisgender straight male, right? Living his life, and he's a beautiful, awesome person. But, I think about what it is for you to live in Memphis with Kelly and with your kids. And how does your experiences living there, how do you celebrate your faith? I was kind of curious about. And then what do you, observations, because, the South and, evangelicalism, sure, and all that. I really just wanted to hear your take on that.
I mean, being gay in the South is not necessarily the easiest thing, but at the same time, I find that in most larger cities, they're sort of blue dots. And we have a lot of, most of our people here are relatively like progressive and affirming and welcoming. And so we have a really sweet community here. I do think, I've been in Memphis now for almost 20 years, and so there's I know a full spectrum of believers across, from conservative to progressive, and there's some relationships that I've lost along the way, but I do think for the most part that the world is sweetly changing in those ways, and people, I do think it's proximity, right? So like, as much energy as I can give to relationships that just to realize like we're just people, right? Like, and the more people are around just people, they realize that it's not really even just that, gay lifestyle term, which is really comical. I'm like, our lifestyle is like crockpot dinners and Netflix, and like getting kids to soccer games,
that's your life.
It's very normal. Yeah. Right. And so I think just that proximity is a huge agent for change. And I do see that changing a lot, even in Memphis. And I love it here. It's a gritty city. We have a lot of just diversity and a lot of spectrum as well, just socioeconomic and racially and sexuality and all that. And so there's a lot about Memphis that I love, and we don't have traffic. So there's
an
excellent barbecue.
Worth staying.
And excellent barbecue. Really, yes.
Really good food.
you do. And so, part two of that question is then, so Ashley, kind of part two of my question about you living in Memphis is, how do you use that in your role as executive director and creating these spaces, especially online and virtual? Like, does that connect you at all?
I mean, I think deconstructing faith to some degree is universal, like in some of the language, right? No matter where you are, what you're unpacking. But I think being in some ways in a marginalized community in the South, right? I think that does lend itself to some wisdom. There's also a lot of gaps that I have, right? There's also a lot of just experiences that I don't have that I've, lean into others to fill in those spaces and to offer direction and support and wisdom. But yeah, I think there's probably some of that that's helpful of being in a community like this. And yeah, I love Memphis and all of its highs and lows.
Absolutely. And so is it like, is it fair to say that Evolving Faith is an oasis for people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. That's one of our metaphors. There's that sort of, you know, table in the wilderness and respite and place to land. But yeah, I think oasis is a great. I hope that it felt like an oasis. Maybe you could speak to that more.
Oh, it does it ever. If you want to use me for your walking, talking testimonial of the quality
please.
Of it, I absolutely, the one in 2019 was mind blowing for me. It changed my point because I went in with a headspace, not a heart space so much, because I was like, oh, it's an opportunity to make connections about a project I'm working on and continue to work on. And I was blown away with what I felt and saw there. And then same thing happened in Minneapolis. That's why, when Kelly made this connection, I was like, this is awesome to have you share about Evolving Faith, and then for us to share with folks, you really do want to check out Evolving Faith. This is, even if you're in a community and you're content, I think if you are asking any kind of spiritual question, you're going to find points of views that are just extraordinary, and it's so affirming. Even if I was an absolute happy camper in my community, I don't know why I wouldn't want to listen to some of those stories, like whether it was Amy Kenney or Alicia or Brandy, or, the list goes on and on of all of them and their different points of view. And they're in a palatable way because it is, I don't want to use that it feels like a TED Talk, because it's not that at all, but they're in an easy format that each of the conversations they share in about 20 minutes each, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's well worth it.
Hold that TikTok attention span.
That's right.
In this culture.
This is true. So, it's not like there was it was all about 20 minutes. And so it's easily, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want more. So,
well, that's the beautiful thing, is like giving them, enough space to share a message, and then recognizing that we can expose people to a lot of different speakers where they can say, like, man, like, I loved Mihi's talk. Like, how do I find out? Like, what has she written? Can I go to her? So it sort of gives you that sort of like enough of a taste that you can kind of see like more to explore with all of these speakers. Most of them have books, and all of them have some sort of online presence as well, and a vast, vast, rich depth beyond those 20 minutes that we give them. So it's a good exposure, and then you can kind of take that where you want and find out more from them.
Well said. Ashley, I am so glad you joined us on this episode of Radical Love Live. Godspeed with work you're doing at Evolving Faith. You're healing souls with the kind of work that you're doing. So,
thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. It was really nice to meet you. Appreciate
thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, Ashley. Be well. Thanks for listening to this episode of Radical Love Live, co-hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson. All rights reserved. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and other popular podcast platforms. Go to radicallovelive.com to learn more about us, watch recordings of our live events, and listen to our podcast. We also invite you to check out what Kelly and Mark are doing by going to our websites. Find Kelly at kellywilson.com and Mark at markdilcom.com. This is Radical Love Live, where we explore faith outside the boxes.